to Comic Tuck Today for Friday, June 29th, 2018. And this will be the first episode in a series I will be calling Secret Origins. Of course, today I will be tackling Catwoman, because as we all know, next week is Batman number 50, and Batman and Catwoman are supposed to be getting married. We'll see how that goes. And also, Catwoman is getting a new book, which I'm excited to read, written and drawn by Joelle Jones, who is absolutely brilliant. Before we get to that, a couple days ago I suggested that people send in some listener questions. I received quite a few. I picked about 8 that I put on the show, and I promised that on Friday's episode, I would pick a winner for a copy of Cul-de-Sac, a horror anthology graphic novel book that I discussed a couple weeks ago when I had Andrew Shaw and Will Playton on. We talked about it at length. I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite things that I have read in the past year. So without further ado, I need to read who the winners are. And before recording, I went to random.org. I picked out all the questions. I put those numbers into a machine, and random.org spit out at the Glenn Clark, at Aaron S. Bell, and at Mike Myers Brunch. You guys are the winners. Send me a DM on Twitter at Geekvine, and I will ship out a copy of these to you. I'll just need your address. Congratulations to those of you, and I hope you really, really enjoy the book. I know I really loved it. Make sure you tell Andrew and Will, too, by the way, after you get your copies. Let's get on to Secret Origins, though, and as I said, today I'll be tackling Catwoman because she is very relevant. And originally I wanted to do something else. I thought about doing, like, Martian Manhunter because I really have been digging what Snyder's doing with him on Justice League, but I decided to do Catwoman instead. Because, you know, when you do these things, when you try to do a first episode of these things, you want to have a really iconic character that people will be enthralled to listen about. And, of course, I wanted to do Batman, but the thing is, everyone would automatically assume Batman would be my first choice. And you know what? The problem is, Batman has had so many origin stories. They're all very similar, but so many different stories that I didn't want to get into that. I thought instead, Catwoman would make a really interesting choice, because I'm very excited to read her new book when that comes out. Now, of course, Catwoman has been a Batman villain slash sidekick slash love interest for a very long time, since 1940. So she's had a long history with Batman, and I think as we discuss some of these origin stories that we've had over the years, I think the ones that you'll see interest me the most are the ones that directly relate to Selina and Bruce being connected in some way or another. Because it's always been kind of the case with him. Even from her first appearance, she was a beautiful woman, you know, even though she was dressed up in this cat burglar outfit. Batman was very enthralled by her beauty, by her skills, by her cunning, by her personality. And so it makes sense that the origin stories that appeal the most to me are the ones that very closely tie into Batman's origin story as well. Now, of course, Tom King has been doing quite a bit of work with Catwoman since she was introduced into the current run with issue 9, if I'm not mistaken. There was a couple of arcs where, you know, she helped Bruce get the ventriloquist. They try to find the psycho pirate, and all that has been building up to what will presumably be the wedding next week. Now, in the current run, we haven't had a fully fledged out story. It was told mostly through flashbacks, but I think the origin story that we're presented with nowadays is pretty interesting because it does pay homage to a lot of the origin stories that we've seen in the past. And the first full origin story that we received with Catwoman was Batman number 62. This is from 1950, written by Bill Finger with art by Bob Kane and Lou Schwartz. And this is a fantastic cover, by the way. In fact, last night I was recording with Rob and Chris. We were doing an episode of Gotham by Geeks, which will be out, I'm assuming, in a couple of weeks. We like to get together every so often and talk about collecting Batman books. So we did that last night, and this book actually came up. So it was actually pretty interesting that I had recently read this in order to prepare for this episode. And I really enjoy this episode. I know some people, it's kind of hard to get into 40s and 50s stories. I'm not going to deny that. The type of storytelling back then was a lot more amateurish than it is now. And that's not to say anything bad about writers or artists of the time. It's just the medium was in its infancy, right? And people were still trying to figure things out. I think as comics have progressed over the decades, we've gotten a lot more interesting stories, more fully fledged out characters. But even then, I think for me, I love reading these books. And, you know, it's hard to do it, but you need to kind of put yourself in the mindset of the time. Because, you know, there is a lot of, like, misogyny and things like that during the 50s. And it shows in the characters, right? I recently read some early Batwoman stories, and those are insane. Because a lot of the weaponry that Batwoman uses is, like makeup items used as weapons. And they work really well, but, you know, it's extremely campy, and of course it doesn't hold up very well. That kind of thing would not work in comics nowadays. Although I'm sure there are some people out there who would much prefer that type of Batwoman. We're not going to get into that. So Batman 62, this is the secret life of the Catwoman. And Catwoman has already been imprisoned. Of course, she's been in the Batman mythos for quite a while by this point, 10 years. And so she's in jail. And this mob boss, because most of the villains at the time were mob figures, Mr. X, he wants to break Catwoman out of prison in order to have her help him do all these heists around Gotham City. And of course, she's the perfect cat burglar. So why not bring her out and have her help him? He lets her out and she's like, why should I help you? And he's like, look, you don't have to help me. I already freed you. But if you want a ton of money, then, you know, I'll split the whole thing half and half with you. And she's down with that because that's always kind of been one of her motivations for her robberies, is she wants to have things. And this will play a key aspect of many of her other origin stories. In particular, once I get to the New 52 stuff, it's very much a central part of that. So Catwoman agrees. They go on these heists. And there's another character that's introduced, Mousie, who wants to belong to Mr. X's gang. And his thugs are like, you're too little. Like, we don't want you on this gang. Get out of here. Well, as these robberies are progressing, one of the thugs, like, starts breaking down this building. And it's about to hit Batman. He's going to get crushed to death. So Catwoman runs to his aid and tries to help him. Because, remember, they've been romantically involved since Batman number one. So they have a long history of this kind of thing, where they go back and forth, right? It's like a cat and mouse game, literally. With, you know, I mean, you can argue who the cat and the mouse is. At some points, Batman is the cat. At some points, Catwoman is the cat. And she rescues him. In the result of this whole thing, though, she gets hit in the head by a large piece of wood or a column or something and loses her memory. In losing her memory, we actually get to learn who Catwoman is. And in the first origin story of Catwoman in Batman number 62 from 1950, we learn that Selina Kyle was a flight attendant. And during one of the flights, the plane crashed and she lost all memory of herself. And as a result, she gained this new persona of the Catwoman and became interested in a life of crime. And I thought that was interesting because I don't think anybody has ever really played with Catwoman being a flight attendant ever since. Now, the memory loss thing has been key in a lot of the origin stories, but not the flight attendant stuff. So as a result, Catwoman ends up going in and helping Batman spy on this group. Another thing that we've seen quite a bit, right? We saw that recently in the DC Rebirth stuff. We've seen that in the past as well. I think, for example, I think during Hush, maybe that happened as well. And maybe, like, previously to the Hush storyline, she kind of spied for Batman. Because, of course, a lot of people know Catwoman as a villain, as a thief. And she has often been associated with those kind of groups. Through the help of Catwoman, Batman is able to stop Mr. X, who turns out to actually be Mousie, who has this weird wireframe costume that he's built for himself to make himself look bigger, because his idea was, if I pretend to be this other guy, when they arrest the gang, they're not going to suspect me, because I've always kind of wanted to be part of the gang. They never let me in. And of course, I look nothing like them. I'm a little tiny guy. That's why they call me Mousie. And Mr. X is this huge figure. So, really cool story. But at the end, we see that Catwoman is kind of back to her quote-unquote normal self, where she remembers her past life as a flight attendant. And she can't believe that she's been a criminal for so many years. This plays kind of an important role in the next couple of issues, although she doesn't show up too much. There is references of Catwoman being sort of a person who helps Commissioner Gordon and Batman solve crimes around Gotham City. She does come back in issue 65 and hits herself in the head again. And as we learn, she may have been kind of playing this angle all along, where maybe she didn't really lose her memory of being Catwoman, and maybe she wasn't really a flight attendant before, but none of that is really explored very well. Although we do see that she loves this new life that she has created for herself, and she dons the Catwoman persona again. So a really cool series of issues, and I like the way that all this is established so early on. I mean, by this point, Batman had been around for 10 or 11 years, so it's not like brand new. And I'm surprised that it would take so long to get an origin story of this character. But I think with her first few appearances, she really resonated with a lot of people. And so it made sense to kind of hold off those stories, right? I think in particular with a lot of villains, and even heroes, to be honest, those characters become more interesting when you know less about them. And once you get the reveal of who they are, they kind of lose their luster in some way. But I like the way that this played out, because again, it does play a key role in many of her succeeding origin stories. The next time we get a really solid reimagining of Catwoman's storyline is in Brave and the Bold, Volume 1, Number 197. This is from April 1983, written by Alan Brennert, with art by Joe Staton. And this is actually one of my favorite issues. I read this recently, and then since I was doing this episode, I wanted to read it again, and it really hit me hard. It's an extremely emotional issue, and I really, really loved it. In some ways, it's kind of an origin story for the Huntress, although she's not explicitly mentioned here. Again, this is played upon very recently in the DC Universe, Batman Annual Number 2, where we have a flash forward of Bruce and Selina's storyline. So I recommend that you go back. If you're interested in these issues, read Brave and the Bold, Volume 1, Number 197. When you're done, go and read the current run, Batman Annual Number 2. It's Tom King and Lee Weeks. By the way, Lee Weeks' art in that is beautiful. Everything he's doing on Batman is beautiful. And you might see some similarities between the two stories. Of course, not a whole very many stories, because Brave and the Bold 197 centers on the Scarecrow, who is one of my favorite Batman villains, and he plays a key role in this. And the reason I really like this is this issue is very much a story of both Batman and Catwoman, and how those two are intertwined. So, as the issue opens up, Commissioner Gordon's received this box, and it's actually pretty interesting. The brand name on the box is Pedophile, and it's like a glove company, and inside is a Scarecrow doll that has the Scarecrow gas. And Bruce is actually getting ready to go to a wedding, not his own wedding, but Linda Page's. And I thought that was pretty interesting, because Linda Page was, of course, a love interest for Batman early on in the 40s. And, you know, he does talk a little bit about a few of his different love interests in the story. There are references to the Justice Society, and you even see the original Green Lantern, Alan Scott. You see Iron Man, you see Starman. And I love those characters, because James Robinson's Starman story was one of my favorite books. And I know Nick and I have talked about that with Rob over on the New Legion podcast. I think we did Volume 1 and Volume 2 of it. We have one more volume to go through, but thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. So I love seeing those characters in the comics, kind of at the time where they were still somewhat important. As the story progresses, we see Batman start losing his cool. And what we learn is that Batman's greatest fear is to be alone. And to me, that was so deep and emotional, because it makes perfect sense with everything that we see, right? He often brings up these young men and women in order to help him fight crime. And maybe part of the reason for that is he does see himself in these characters. That's why many of them have similar origin stories as he does. Not always, but, you know, similar things where they lose their parents, they're kind of lost, and they find their way through being a vigilante. And, you know, Batman's greatest fear is being alone. And as a result, he's got Batwoman there, he's got Robin there, and they kind of start fading away, but they're not gone, they're still there. So, you know, Batwoman and Robin are kind of fighting with him, like, look, Bruce, we're right here, like, and he's like, oh my god, they're gone, I need somebody to come help me. So he goes to prison to talk to Selina Kyle, who is kind of, in some ways, dealing with the fact that she was a criminal. So this kind of is a callback to this Batman 62 issue, where she has lost her memory and regained it, and she has to cope with being a criminal, but, you know, she's in prison, even though she's atoned for those crimes, because she doesn't believe that she's that person. Well, somehow or other, Batman is able to get her out of prison, and she dons her original Catwoman costume. Not the cat costume, by the way, where she wore the crazy cat mask, but the original one, which I think is one of the most beautiful and iconic ones. And if you are reading the current Tom King run, it does make its appearances there. In fact, they have a couple of different costumes that show up in some of those flashback scenes. The original costume was pretty much just a purple dress with this cowl that had the little cat ears on it. I loved it. I think it's classic and iconic, and it's beautiful, beautiful. Of course, a direct callback to the 40s, right? Because that's kind of the dress, the fashion of the time. So she dons her costume again. she and Batman go and try to search for the Scarecrow. Of course, each of them face their fears, and ultimately we learn the reason why she has regrets of being Catwoman is there's a little origin change. So she actually admits to Batman that she lied in this Batman 62 issue when she said that she was a flight attendant and had lost her memory. In fact, she had her memory the entire time. The actual reason why she was kind of pushing back some of those memories is that before she became Catwoman, she was married to another man. And that man was extremely abusive to her. He beat her and had her do things she didn't want to do. And as a result, she repressed those memories and created this new persona for herself, all subconsciously, which I think was really interesting because one of the things that I love about Batman is how much deep human psychology can have a direct correlation to a lot of the things, a lot of the characters, a lot of the actions and stories that Batman gets involved in. And I really love that. I mean, to me, this issue was extremely powerful. And, you know, it's from the early 80s, so a long time away from Batman 62, for 30-plus years. But I think in this time frame of the early 80s is when we start seeing this move towards deeper, darker stories. And, of course, the culmination of that would be probably in, like, the mid to late 80s when we start seeing, you know, Frank Miller take over. We start seeing, like, Watchmen and those kind of things. And that revolutionized comics. But this is really a lead-up to all that. And I thought it was fascinating to see it so early on. Because a lot of the Bat stories that I remember reading from this era were not as deep as this one. And this one was just beautiful to me. And I love this new change in Batwoman because it kind of modernizes the tale a little bit, right? If you go back, I mean, you know, there was a show a few years ago. It was called like Pan Am, I think maybe it was. But it was about like how glamorous it was to be a flight attendant in the 50s and the 40s and into the 60s. And of course it made sense for her to be that, right? Because she is all about glamour. And now into the 80s, we have darker stories where we start seeing stories surfacing of people being abused. And that's a big thing nowadays too, right? Where people that felt like they couldn't talk about those things 20, 30 years ago, they're bringing them out now. So really powerful, really emotional. As a result of all this, they both learned that, you know, part of the problem is they're both alone. They have nobody else but each other. And, you know, like, for example, Bruce is trying to figure out, well, what happens if Alfred's gone? What happens if Kathy's gone? What happens if Dick's gone? Right? And Catwoman has already dealt with some of that stuff because he hasn't had anybody. Right? She was kind of an orphan. We do see that maybe they have some similar origin stories where her parents were gone very early on. That's not gone into detail here. The main reason for her becoming Catwoman is this emotional mental abuse that has her repress memories of her previous life and create a new one. And I thought that was fascinating. Now, if you fast forward into the 90s, I'm not going to go in depth into these because these are longer stories. But for example, in like Batman Dark Victory, into Batman Dark, Nightfall, there's some hints of it in like Hush. We do see that there's maybe deferring origin story for her as well, where her parents, again, might have been killed, but maybe they weren't. In fact, at one point in Batman Dark Victory, it's stated that Catwoman may be Carmine Falcone's daughter, and that's never really fleshed out. It's never really explicitly said, yes, she's Falcone's daughter. But there's this whole thing where Falcone had a second kid who was sent to America and put into foster homes. So we do start seeing some of that. It's not really fleshed out too much. So really, it's more of a journey of discovering who she is, although we don't really discover who she is because that origin is never explicitly stated. However, if we keep fast forwarding into New 52, that does become a little bit more central to her storyline. And in fact, I would say the New 52 origin story of Catwoman is very similar to the Batman Returns movie, which had the Penguin and Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. Very similar story then, right? So in that movie, we see that she was a cat burglar. She gets thrown out of this building. And as a result, she's kind of saved by cats and becomes the Catwoman. And in Catwoman number 0, which is a New 52 issue, this is Ann Nocenti, Adriana Mello, and Julio Ferreira. They really go in depth into that. The issue itself, I didn't think was very great, but I do like the origin itself. The issue to me seemed a little messy because it does jump back and forth in time quite a bit. We do learn from really early on she was by herself, right? Her parents were killed. She went to an orphanage. She escaped the orphanage. And then as she's prowling the streets, this group approaches her that want her to join their group and become powerful, right? They take orphans off the street and give them the opportunity to become better. And this is a program that's being run by the mayor of Gotham City at the time. And all that was cool, but I wasn't sure how the characters were connected because it seemed like a lot of it, I would have to read what was actually going on in Catwoman New 52. And I didn't want to go and read, I mean, really another 35 issues because once we get to Catwoman 35 from New 52, it seems like that origin story has changed once again in some ways. You know, we talked a little bit about how in Dark Victory, it may have been hinted that she was Falcone's daughter. When we get into the New 52, between issues 35 and 40, there's an arc of Catwoman taking over a mob group in Gotham City. And of course, in this arc, she is assumed to be the daughter of Rex Calabrese, who is a Gotham City mob boss. And that whole story is kind of interesting. I think the high point of Catwoman at this time is really the art, which is Gary Brown. And Gary Brown's currently doing Baby Teeth of Aftershock. So it was awesome to go back and read these issues just purely for the art. I think the story itself was okay. But to me, having her be a mob boss was really not that interesting. I think it was handled well. But I prefer some of these other origin stories where they're much more closely related to Batman. Because part of the reason why I love Catwoman is her relationship to the character. Because they've been kind of together for such a long time. Right? And we have this wedding coming up. And, you know, whether I think the wedding's going to happen or not is really irrelevant. I have enjoyed, believe it or not, the journey into seeing how we get here. You know, I haven't talked about the one-shot issues, for example, but I think they've been done really well. And I want to see how this wedding thing plays out. In particular because, you know, the origin story has changed a little bit with the DC Universe stuff, the Tom King stuff. But I love the flashback issue that I referenced earlier, which was in Batman Annual number 2. Because I think in this issue, we do get to see a cohesion of all the different origin stories that Catwoman has had over the past 80 years in one issue. And I thought it was done very well, right? So if you haven't read it, I suggest go back and read it. Batman Annual came out, Batman Annual number 2, this came out at the end of last year. And the story is really good because after we have this Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle interaction as Batman and Bruce, over the years, really, or at least a few months, maybe, how they interact, because she's trying to rob Bruce Wayne and get jewels or whatever. One of the key things there was she wants to get into Bruce's safe, and there's a single pearl there. And the single pearl is important because that also is a key part of the origin story presented in Catwoman Zero in the New 52. And part of the reason it's important is because it makes their origin stories very similar, where the pearl that Bruce has is the pearl that fell off Martha Wayne's necklace when she was killed when he was a child. And so, of course, it's very near and dear to him. In the Catwoman Zero story, we do see pearls are a big part of her. In fact, when she's getting tossed around the alleyways by this group that wants to enlist her, she is holding some pearls. When we get flashbacks of her as a child, we see that she was in this orphanage. And in the orphanage, the headmaster of the school would actually send the kids out to rob rich families or banks or whatever. And one of the things that Catwoman always had was a single pearl. Because in her first heist, she got these pearls from a necklace, but she took one and hid it in her mouth because she was smart enough to realize that the headmistress would search them to make sure they weren't keeping anything for themselves, but she would never search her mouth. So she kept it in her mouth, and then as she went to sleep, she hid it in her teddy bear, and when she got older, she still had this pearl. And so I like that callback in between these two things, right? And I love the callback that we have as the story flash forwards in the annual, and we see that Bruce is very sick, he's dying, and Selina has to wrestle with his legacy and not having him around anymore. Because after all these years of this cat and mouse game, they're finally together, they have a family, right? They're both retired, something that also happens in this Brave and the Bold issue, that happens when we first get to learn about the Huntress's origin, right? And the Huntress has been key in a lot of these issues, right? I'm not sure what it is right now, and maybe I'll do a Secret Origins on the Huntress, but, you know, at one point she was Bruce and Selina's daughter, that was kind of retconned out of the way. She was still kind of Catwoman's daughter, but maybe not Bruce's. So that's kind of been a long debated thing. But I like how this calls back to that, because we do see Helena in this flash forward story, and she is the Batwoman. we get to see, of course, a lot of the Bat family, and the issue is very emotional. But I love the progression of all that, you know, and regardless of what I think about the current run, I love how Tom King has really placed so much emphasis on paying homage to all these early origin stories. And I highly suggest you read some of these, in particular the really early ones. Like I said, I know it may be hard for some of you to read these early stories, but I think they say a lot about these characters, in particular when you're so familiar and entrenched in a particular side of the universe. Of course, for me, it's Batman. And, you know, having read so many of these books, I love how each new writer interprets things. And I think it's important to remember to always pay homage to those origins. I hope you enjoy the first ever installment of Secret Origins. If you have some comments or suggestions on what you'd like to see, what you'd like to see me change, let me know. Of course, I don't write anything down when I do these things, so there may be some that I missed, some that maybe you want to hear more about. Let me know on Twitter, at Geekvine. You can email nerdlegion@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back on Monday with the Top of the Pile.